live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 193. Old school start time, 6:30. This is me and Jonathan's old school start time, 6:30 back in the day for the first like 15 episodes. But Jet, my head, mind, Brandon Reif, joins always by my main man, Jonathan Birdsong. JB, bringing it back a little old school tonight.
Man, yes, we are. Happy holidays to you. Happy holidays to all the Crossroads listening audience. Brandon, I was told I had a pre-show, man, about 10 minutes ago, and they said I had audio. Am I sounding clear?
You are sounding clear now. I saw your pre-show, and it was bad audio.
Yeah, I think I got a funky speaker. I do apologize for anybody listening that kind of watched the pre-show. Shame on me. I didn't do a test. But I think I got a blown speaker. I think it's time we go head up to our old employer and I get me a new phone. But we'll worry about that some other day, man. Brandon, please give us the rundown for tonight's show.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got NFL talks, some quick news and notes from this past week's set of games. We've got the preview for this week, some of the games that have tipped the scales for us this week. A little bit of a COVID outbreak going on throughout the NFL and the NBA, so we'll kind of touch on that a little bit this evening. NBA, obviously the Indiana Pacers. Pacers went on a little hot streak, three-game hot streak, and then cue the Reggie Miller gift of choking. That's what they did the other night against Golden State. Talk about Steph setting the record last night. We'll talk about a little about that. Pacers are in Milwaukee tonight to take on the Bucks without Chris Middleton. College basketball news, Indiana Hoosiers, Purdue Boilermakers. We've got them to talk. We've got the Crossroads Classic this Saturday, Gainbridge Fieldhouse, Purdue versus Notre Dame in the first game, and then IU in the second game. FYI, I haven't got the email back yet about the Crimson, so just waiting to hear back. Should have an answer by tomorrow, I believe, at the latest.
Yeah.
Some college football recruiting news, John. Signing day was today. It did make a splash. Some craziness with that. And then as well as a review, this past Sunday, myself and Jonathan partook in some White River Wrestling. You remember last week ago, Jake Oman was on the show. He had the big show this past weekend against Jake Something. Myself and Jonathan were there. We've got a little bit of news and notes from that and kind of like our take on that. So, John, let's dive right on in. Tanner will be calling in tonight. I think I told him 7:15 initially. This was back when it was a 6 o'clock show. But he'll still be calling in. We've got our picks for the first set of bowl games. We've only got a five games that we're going to pick on tonight, just because the big game are going to be for another couple weeks. So we'll hit on those later on when it gets closer and the lines are moving a little bit more. Quick housekeeping, no show next week. Holiday week, no show. I will be in New York City all week, so no show for that. But be sure to look for my stuff. I'll be posting on there. We've got the Knicks game on Tuesday night. I'll be at Madison Square Garden, so it'll be cool to be in there checking out the Mecca, as they call it. So looking forward to that. John, let's dive into the NFL. It seems like it's almost been a week. Pittsburgh Steelers, my Steelers, start out down 29-0 to the Vikings. My God, I was ready to go to bed. It was over. No signs of life. We came storming back, almost been through an incomplete pass. It was right in Freiermuth's hands at the end of regulation, which would have put them in a good spot to possibly tie the game. Vikings sneak away with one. Steelers give themselves a little bit of a setback.
Again, yeah, definitely a little bit of a setback because, you know what I'm saying, there were some other, some other teams that lost as far as that, the favorites in that division that didn't cover, right? Didn't cover namely the Ravens and namely the Cincinnati Bengals. But yeah, man, you know, there's a competitive pride that the Pittsburgh Steelers had. I know afterwards, you know, saying Coach Tomlin, you know what I'm saying, kind of ripped. I'm gonna say kind of ripped the, you know what I'm saying, the play of the I did, read between the lines, the offensive line and the defensive line. Because, you know what I'm saying, once remember Brennan, it, you know what I'm saying, I'm not talking about the 70s, you know what I'm saying, when I was a little kid and you were, you know what I'm saying, not even born, you know what I'm saying, but the Steelers have always been, in the Tomlin era, you know what I'm saying, even there before, you know what I'm saying, a feared team, you know what I'm saying, regardless of record. Like, the defense was, you know what I'm saying, people feared them, or they feared something about them, their running game, like, dude, what are we going to do, you know what I'm saying, the opponent feared. And that's not necessarily we have, we don't necessarily have that with this particular Pittsburgh Steelers team. You know what I'm saying? Are they a competent team? Yes. Have they got wins? Yes. Can they score on you? Yes. But, you know what I'm saying, where's the, you know what I'm saying, where's the James Harrison kind of defense, you know what I'm saying, attitude at? You know what I'm saying? It's not there. So, and it sounds like, well, you know what I'm saying, after the comments after that Mike Tomlin, you know what I'm saying, shared with the press, is that there's going to be some major changes. We all know Big Ben told the guys in the locker room that this is probably his last go round in Pittsburgh. But it sounds like there's going to be a lot of change with the Pittsburgh Steelers coming up. Because again, you know what I'm saying, it's not for them. That organization's, you know, saying, what can we say about the Pittsburgh Steelers? I know you, I take your fandom off, take your fandom off, you know what I'm saying, for a second, and or your hatred, whatever. You know, I know not you particularly, but I'm just, you know what I mean, take your fandom off for hate. Pittsburgh Steelers, as far as the NFL is concerned, are the top four organizations, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, they don't go out there just to say, oh, man, we made it to the playoffs. So they don't go out there just to say, oh, man, we gave it our best effort. They're trying to get to the Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying? There might not be as much hype around them that kind of comes with the Dallas Cowboys or even with Belichick. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Or in the New England Patriots. But like I said, they're one of the top four organizations, man, and they haven't consistently shown that week in, week out this particular year. And like I said, you know what I'm saying, with Tomlin calling out, you know what I'm saying, basically, you know what I'm saying, not necessarily the coaching staff, but calling out the players in a roundabout way, you know what I'm saying, not necessarily by name, but in a roundabout way, you know what I'm saying, call out the field, the play on the field, you have to expect there's just going to be some change in the wind. Again, I don't think this is necessarily the nail in the coffin for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Again, the Cincinnati Bengals have not done their due diligence to take the next step. Again, you're looking at the Ravens, who I know is the hated Steelers rival. They're going to, if Lamar can suit them up, you know what I'm saying, this particular weekend, they got the Green Bay Packers. That's the hottest Packers team we've seen since, you know what I'm saying, probably since last year, right? Again, would you ever thought that you would see the Ravens potentially lose 3-4 in a row? Well, it's going to happen. You know what I mean? So as far as the division is concerned, or as far as maybe getting a wild card, they still going to need some help. But the only thing they can do is basically kind of help themselves and try to win, and try to win out. But that being said, you know what I'm saying, I still think there's going to be a whole lot of change in the offseason. And, again, you know what I'm saying, it's based on – I won't say pressure, but it's based on because that's what the organization kind of stands for. The organization is trying to get, you know what I'm saying, stack the trophy case, not say, hey, man, we had a great season of, you know what I'm saying, 9-8. That's not what they stand for.
Yeah, they got a big game this weekend against Tennessee. I believe it's a home game. So this is the type of game I could see them. They don't deserve – they'll deserve to be even in based on their last couple of games, but they'll end up somehow probably hanging in there and maybe having a chance to win this game against a hurt Tennessee team this weekend. We'll see what happens there. John, Indianapolis Colts. Colts had the bye week. Big game this Saturday night. I'm not going to call it a rivalry. They play against their other hated team, the Patriots. A rivalry means that both teams got to be even just about – winning about the same, and it's not. It's a complete disaster on the one end. But Colts Patriots back memories in Indianapolis, night game, Lucas Oil Stadium. Colts right now 2.5-point favorites, which it seems about right. I think it started at 1.5. It's bumped up to 2.5 now. I still haven't decided where I'm going to go on this game. But New England's coming in hot. They're an AFC East monster right now. They are clicking and rolling on all cylinders. Colts have shown life. Colts have played well over starting, what, 0-3 or 1-4 or something like that.
Yeah,
Colts are looking good. Yeah. We're looking for a big AFC showdown this week, and it will. This game right here is going to set the tilt for what the playoff AFC playoff picture is going to look like, basically.
Yeah, I'll kind of answer this and give the positive side of what the Colts can do to win the game, and kind of give you like what kind of gives me pause. It kind of makes me raise the eyebrow, right? So, two hot teams playing one another. Right, we all know we've seen what the New England Patriots have done. They can beat you. They basically beat you with defense and running. You know what I mean? They don't necessarily the quarterback rookie Mac Jones from Alabama, right? For all the Sooner fans, not Sooner, but all the Bama ice that listen to the show are gushing because you know here they basically kids stepped off from the national championship game to you know what I'm saying to the potentially trying to go to a Super Bowl, which I don't know that's almost unprecedented, isn't it, Brandon? But
yeah,
with all that being said, man. Again, two hot teams, you know what I'm saying, facing one another, facing each other. It's going to be a great game. There's some history, right? You kind of allude to it not being a rivalry, but we can say there's some history. It's some bad blood, either from the Tom Brady and Peyton Manning days, and there's definitely some carryover from when Andrew Luck, I don't think Andrew Luck ever beat the New England Patriots at all, you know what I'm saying, anytime. So again, people kind of remember those things. So, rival, and then how could I forget Josh McDaniels, you know what I'm saying, kind of changing his mind once the contracts were signed, changed his mind and not wanting to become the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts two or three years ago. So, definitely some bad blood. You can't necessarily say it's a rivalry anymore. Just because the level, the you know what I'm saying, where the teams are at as far as rebuilding and retooling and all those things. Here's what I like about what the Colts are kind of facing. They're facing a rookie quarterback. That, again, that Bill Belichick doesn't necessarily put in position to make bad decisions. But, you know what I'm saying, this dude ain't necessarily just throwing five-yard passes, right? He does have the ability to make mistakes. And we do have a hungry defense. The Colts do have a hungry enough defense that if they can make him a rookie, I think they'll be successful. Again, we know what's coming with them as far as the offense is coming. They're going to run it. Hell, they ran it how many times? How many times did they run it when they beat Cleveland 2 weeks ago? And I think he completed like three passes total. You know what I'm saying? So you know they're going to run and run it. Again, you know what I'm saying? You're looking at it. And then when you're looking at it from a defensive side, like what they're going to do to try to negate the Colts from winning. Of course, Bill Belichick, a master of defense, is probably going to try to take the best player, that would be Jonathan Taylor, take him out of it. So he'll load the box, all those things that people kind of know. He'll load the box, stack the box so that, wherever Taylor's at, he'll probably have two guys on it, right? Maybe three, right? Whatever. So that kind of leaves that's easier said than done as the game progresses. We know I think John Taylor get a big run at some point, but it's kind of going to be on – before that happens, though, Brandon, it's kind of going to be on Carson Wentz to make plays to his tight ends and to his wide receivers consistently and not make a boneheaded, left-handed pass to put the team into a pick situation or a poor situation on the field. Again, you have to play this one. You have to play this one as if the Patriots can potentially – if you get up on the Patriots – like two or three scores, and I ain't necessarily say touchdowns. You get the page or two or three, but you have to play it like they have a comeback in them. Even though Tom Brady ain't over there, you have to play it like they have a comeback in them. So again, I'm not necessarily giving my pick just yet. But what does kind of concern me though, Brandon, is there too much respect in sports now when teams say, "Yo, over there, Bill Belichick is the best that ever did it. Or over there, Tom Brady is the best that ever did it." Yeah, people, we kind of already know that, but you got to go out here and try to beat them. So don't in the press box, are you already automatically given, saying that you're going to, you know what I'm saying, if you lose, we lost to the best? That's baloney. You should be trying to, if the Colts ain't trying, be honest with you, Brandon, if the Colts ain't trying to put a 24-10 or better on the New England Patriots, I don't give a damn Bill Belichick or whoever is on the sideline. I just heard a little sound bite from Frank Wright. And as well, not just him. We've been talking about this particular game. I've heard other sound bites from other teams before. Like, again, when the Patriots just beat Buffalo, Josh Allen was saying how great – No, I'm sorry. When the Buccaneers just beat Buffalo, how Josh Allen was saying how great Tom Brady was. I'm like, dude, you've already genuflected and said, dude, this dude owns you. This is dude, you know what I'm saying? Y'all gonna lose. It seemed that that's kind of how I took it. You know what I mean? But like, nah, man. I think, you know what I'm saying, you have to give them. I get it. You have to give them respect, but like, dude, don't say. I'm not saying you necessarily guaranteed a win or not, but you got to say, yo, we going there with the opportunity. Again, coach put themselves in the 0-4 hurt locker, and they stormed back to get to this point. Again, they wasted some games. I think they gave too much credence to the Buccaneers when they could have won that damn game. You know what I mean? But again, man, the coach need to have this, not necessarily swagger, but they need to have the attitude that. This game just puts us in the playoffs, because that's how big it is this coming Saturday.
Yeah, as you're saying that, and I'm thinking, and just keep looking, I think I'm going to go Patriots +2.5.
no way.
Just because, here's my thing, Bill Belichick. You can, and you know this, every game you watch, they're always on TV, right? Whether it was the Tom Brady era or the era they have now. They find a way to take away your best asset, right? And
True.
To limit that. So for Indianapolis, it's the run game with Jonathan Taylor that they're going
right.
to sit there and force Carson Wentz into tough situations. They're probably going to put the exotic blitzes out on Carson Wentz to make him throw the ball, to make him make bad, poor choices. Because they're going to sit there and they're going to put an emphasis to stop the run. That's what New England can do. They can stop the run, and it's going to be up to them to open up that run game with some of those passes. And if you're telling me, Brandon, you've got a choice, you can either win the game with Jonathan Taylor or you can win the game with Carson Wentz. Stats history has shown the Colts win those games with Jonathan Taylor. They don't
right.
lose games with Jonathan Taylor. They lose games when you're trying to pass with Carson Wentz. I just feel like Belichick and them have had a whole damn week to prep for this thing. They're going to stop the run, and they're going to put that pressure on Wentz and those exotic blitzes. I just think it may take one or two kill shots from Wentz on an interception or a fumble or something like that that's going to end up costing them to get the game. I'm not gonna say it's not gonna be a very close game. I think a late turnover seals it for New England because they stopped the run and they're putting Wentz in weird situations. So that's how I think I see this going this weekend.
Gotcha. I can't. Again, I mean, how Bill Belichick's mind. I think, you know what I'm saying, that's exactly what they're going to want to do. I do think Jonathan Taylor is just a little bit better. Then I don't know the over under if he'll get, you know, over 100 yards total, you know what I'm saying, because he can be utilized in somewhat capacity as a receiver, but again, man, I think the defense of Bill Belichick will key in on Jonathan Taylor. Obviously, it's going to be on the Moai Coxes of the world, the oh my goodness, how could we forget the ghost, you know what I'm saying, out there. The wideout, damn it, Brandon, I can't even think of my man's name. He's one of the all-time great coaches. T.Y. It's going to be on T.Y. Hilton's of the world, the Moai Cox of the world, and those kind of guys to, you know what I'm saying, to do their best to win this game, man. You know, there's some games that they kind of let slip through their fingers, man, and the Ravens game comes to mind. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers game comes to mind. You can't – and quite honestly, on the other side of that, in those scenarios, better quarterback play, regardless of what you think about Lamar Jackson and his QB rating, right? QBR rating, right? They have better quarterbacks playing in a close game. In this particular game, like, again, we got to make Mac Jones look like a rookie, and it's been done. You know what I'm saying? Early on in the season, and then he has shown some poise after, you know what I'm saying, since. But you know what I'm saying? The coach put enough pressure on him. And you gotta understand, Brandon. Hey, you know what I'm saying? We everybody's thinking about what the Patriots are gonna take away, what the Colts are gonna take away. You know what I'm saying? I don't have the numbers. Shame on me, Brandon. I don't have the numbers in here in right in front of me of what the Colts are versus the run this particular year. But if you're telling me they have just a good rushing attack, rushing attack as we do, as the Colts do, then the Colts should key on that. You know, that should be the primary. You know what I'm saying? The primary. Dude, how are we going to stop the Patriots run? You know what I mean? So, but I know they ain't necessarily vanilla also in their wideouts either. So again, that kind of goes back to my point. How can we make Mac Jones? How can the Colts make Mac Jones look like a rookie? So again, I think it's going to be a close game. You know what I'm saying? I've seen New England Patriots have looked very impressive over the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks or so. But I think it's going to be a very close game. I'm going with, obviously, to Homer and me. I'm picking the Colts. I think, you know, say, I think afterwards we'll be talking about, well, you know, because, Brandon, think about it. Carson Wentz hasn't necessarily been a turnover machine as he's been with, as he was with Philadelphia the last two seasons. He's made some, what kind of play was that? Right at critical points in the game, if we can keep that bottled up somehow, and also remember, Coach got to remember that's Frank Wright. He also got to remember, like, dude, you got other running backs out here that can do other things besides Jonathan Taylor. So I hope he utilizes the total, you know what I'm saying, the total weapons he has on offense. So again, I think it's gonna be a close game. I don't necessarily give you the score. You said it's over two. I think the Colts win at least by a touchdown.
Okay, Colts are middle of the pack in rush defense this year. I think they're 16th or 17th, I believe, is what I'm seeing here. In pass defense or pass rushing, excuse me, or rushing defense. Jesus, can't get it right. Carson right. Wentz stat bring up, John, 22 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, 22 sacks, and 7 fumbles, 4 of those lost this year. So he has he has dropped in his lost fumbles lately. The last 2 years, he's had over 10 fumbles. He's well on pace for having over 10 fumbles again. Last year, he had 15 interceptions to only 5 this year. His quarterback rating is better, but his passing attempts are actually lower this year than kind of they were last year on pace.
Right.
Almost passed for 3,000 yards this year. So, and he also, you remember, he was hurt last year, didn't play as much with his injuries. So, but yeah, I just think it's going to come down to Bill, you know, Bill Belichick, what that defense was. Because if I was him, you know, I would do everything in my power to stop the run. Now, not saying that Carson Wentz isn't a good passer, because, you know, he has made those good passes. And like you said, he's made some of those bonehead plays where I'm like, what the hell is this flip arm, left-handed flip stuff that's cost him San Francisco game at first, you know, when he tried to throw it and it was intercepted. But if you can limit your turnovers, if you can try to get the balanced attack with the running and the passing to try to keep the Patriots off, you know, offset a little bit, I think it bodes well for Indianapolis, especially with it being a home game against this New England squad. And you got to think, with New England's hot streak they're on right now, they are due for a letdown spot at some point going into the playoffs. So,
right.
I believe you'll see this team again, a possibility here in late January. So, John, looks like the NFL's got themselves a COVID issue. My God, over 75 players have tested positive for COVID. Cleveland Browns have their head coach, Baker Mayfield, several people out with COVID. They're supposed to play the first game on Saturday against the Raiders. Just like we're going to talk about NBA here soon, they've already said they're not going to postpone or cancel any games. The NFL is not.
Right.
You can't really put a pause on the NFL season based on everything else that's already set. And timing wise, but we're back here again with a lot of positive COVID tests.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's all I can say. The NFL is not necessarily built to deal with the pause. You know what I'm saying? Then, because if you deal with a pause, you get running into what, like late February, March for a Super Bowl, something like that. You know what I'm saying? And they don't, like, again, they don't necessarily want to cancel games I don't even know if it gets any like positivity rate gets worse and you do have, unfortunately, if you have any type of fatality, then you go fanless. You know what I'm saying? So they're just going to press through it. What's good is, what you can say is that the NFL from 3-4 weeks back was like 90, like the player vaccination rate was like at 98%. right? Of course, there are, coaches included. There are some players that aren't vaccinated. Again, the vaccinations, I feel like Fauci right now. Vaccination doesn't necessarily keep you from getting infected or being, coming down with COVID, but vaccinations do keep you from getting sick or keep you out of hospital. Those are the type of things. So it is unfortunate. It's here to stay. It's going to affect, it's going to affect everything from betting lines to if you want to make the decision to actually go to a game and to sit next to a person and try to wonder if he or she, got a vaccination or he or she, if they're not wearing a mask, it's going to affect the game that way, take the sales, That's how I look at it. It's a kick in the balls to me. It's kicking the balls to me. I just wish, we didn't know what a variant was. If NFL's not going to put a pause on it, team's going to have to, it's the next man's philosophy. So, if Baker Mayfield doesn't pass two negative tests, I do believe between now and Sunday, Case Keenum is the quarterback. Uh-huh. He's our quarterback on Sunday. So there you have it. The COVID is kind of like, if you got injured, MCL tear or ACL tear, like, dude, who's the next man up? Next wide out up? Next running back up? Next, position player up? So there you have it.
Yep, absolutely. I think, back to last year, I think we were talking to the league, I didn't think it'd be that big of an issue still as it is now. It's still up there in the forefront, even with all these vaccinations and stuff. So we'll see. I know for the fantasy football players out there, I've seen some teams that have been completely wrecked based off of COVID players. And now, DeAndre Hopkins, another injury. D-Hop's going to be out for the rest of the regular season for the Cardinals. I put my apologies last week out to the Cardinals organization, saying I didn't believe in them this year. I still don't 100% believe in them, John, with Kyler back there. I was on the Rams this past Sunday, and thank God, or was it Monday? I don't remember. I got my days mixed up. I think it was Monday night. But the Rams got the big win they needed, even with their players out with COVID. I'm not a big fan of the defense. Offense can get down the field, on with Arizona. I just don't think in the playoffs defense is going to hold up. As you look at a Rams team, if you look at a Packers team, if you look at a Buccaneers team, I think they're fourth or fifth. I would have them.
I was a little bit higher. I didn't necessarily say Super Bowl when I was high on Arizona. I just kind of liked what they kind of put together. They had a mixture of youth and they had a mixture of veteran talent. Whether you thought Wyatt was a cast off or not, we didn't know. Both of us agreed upon. We can't agree upon that. We knew Wyatt at some point was going to break down, just because of age and just because that's kind of what he's done the last few seasons. So you're right. What you allude to, they don't necessarily have the defense that they showed. Again, they do. 17 game season is a bone breaker. It's hurtful on the body. But they've been able to survive games without Hopkins, without Kyler Murray. That's kind of why I still kind of hung in on them just a little bit. What kind of is an eye-opener for me, I'm not getting ready to say, I didn't necessarily have them going to Super Bowl. I just thought they would be the surprise team of the year. I thought they would be the lead dogs. We know what I call them. Anybody who, the new fresh faces on the block that ain't Aaron Rodgers or ain't Tampa Bay or Bill Belichick or, some of the people that are future Hall of Famer Patty Mahomes, some people that kind of lived in the Super Bowl the last 4 or 5 years AFC to NFC championship games. Like, I thought they were the new kids on the block and, knocking for opportunity. What I will say is that I think they've built a foundation to where they can say, here we are, NFL, here we are, America, we've arrived. And take us for serious. They've made that climb. Teams that make climb don't necessarily automatically make a leapfrog into the Super Bowl. So, with a little, again, I mean, we're not necessarily in off-season talk just yet. We're a little ticker here or there. You know what I'm saying? I don't, you know what I mean, to improve the defense, to potentially, you know what I'm saying, to even get, you know, a better pass rush, to even get better offensive line play, you know, in the offseason. I think that's gotta be, that'll be addressed, you know what I'm saying? But they have all the tools to, like I said, you know what I'm saying, help would be their biggest thing. But they do have all the tools to at least make some noise in the playoffs. Because, again, they, like I said, they took them. They've taken a lot of guys being injured off and still maintain pace of winning. The Rams didn't win that game. You know what I'm saying? We're talking about a totally different thing where all the Rams, you know what I'm saying? Because, again, last week we were talking about more pressure being on them to get Super Bowl than anybody, even including the Dallas Cowboys, right? So, but no, man, I thought, you know what I'm saying, we break down that Rams game, Rams versus Arizona. It was disappointing not to see Arizona come out with that victory. But, again, like you said, it's better. They're not necessarily ready to make that next step, especially when you got a veteran group kind of like the Rams who have a little bit more pressure to get a little bit further than they do, if that makes sense.
Last thing I have, last two things, I guess. Number one, more drama. More drama out of Jacksonville. leaks with Urban Meyer, apparently, and then now him kicking Josh Lambeau, and that leak came out. He said it's not true. It's time to – I think it's time for him to go. It's time to go. There's – besides what he did early in the season, said he lost his locker room with the coaches. This team had no heart in their game this other night. It's time for him to go. I don't think he needs to go back to college football. He needs to ride off into the sunset and go grind on some college girls if that's what he wants to do. But hey, I'll tell you who they need to go after and get. I'm gonna go ahead and give the cons. I hope they're listening. They need a coach in there that can come in, take care of Trevor Lawrence. I don't think Trevor Lawrence is broken at all. I think right coach in there, it can get done. If I had to pick a guy, I think if I were to lead that, John, out there, the guy got ceremoniously exited from Philadelphia, and he wasn't that bad of a coach. I mean, my God, he's won a Super Bowl, right? Why not go out and get Doug Peterson and bring him in to Jacksonville to lead that program with a young quarterback, as he did with Carson Wentz there. I think Peterson looked good in Jacksonville colors wearing that visor.
Woo! You asked him, the cons, who got a lot of money. Let's not forget about that. To basically wipe like $21 million and tell Urban Meyer to go away. Before we get to that, I do like to pick at coach because again, that particular guy is a good coach. Urban Meyer is also a good coach. It's this that he's still in college football mode. And that there's a major difference between running a college football program, even the Ohio States of the world, even, you know what I'm saying, whereas the other stops, Urban Meyer was in Florida, even those, you know what I'm saying, there's a major difference between running those type of programs and running an NFL program. You know what I'm saying? I don't – you obviously, Brandon, you could obviously challenge your players, right, in a certain amount of way, challenge them to be better. You think Mike Tomlin gets respect. Mike Tomlin got day one when he took the torch, you know what I mean, when he took the baton, right? You know what I'm saying? Urban Meyer kind of came in and was like, man, who did you just hire? Why did we have Tebow here? You know what I'm saying? You're like, are you running a WWE circus or are you running a football team?
The racist coach. That was the strength coach when you brought him in.
Yeah, right. So again, it made a lot of you know what I'm saying, missteps, wrong moves, you know what I mean, off the jump. You have a generational quarterback. Everybody knows it. Everybody believes it. Dude, like, people have been wanting to draft, you know what I'm saying, Sunshine since his freshman year at Clemson. So what did you do? I'm saying, Urban Meyer, what did he do to put, you know what I'm saying, I don't think he did. Again, I ain't going to never question Urban Meyer's football IQ. It probably pales in comparison, even mine and yours put together. You know what I'm saying? But as far as running a pro-style program, to where the men in that locker room respect you, the men in that locker room believe in your game plan and how we're going to beat X, Y, and Z on this particular Sunday or this particular Monday, he doesn't have buy-in because he doesn't have respect. However much, you know what I'm saying, our good old buddy Dan Dawkins wants to, you know what I'm saying, make excuses for him, you know what I'm saying, he doesn't have respect of his locker room. And this has been a disaster, considering he does have some good, I won't say great pieces, because they still need talent. That's another reason that why, you know what I'm saying, he can be frustrated at some of that as well. You know what I'm saying? Be frustrated at yourself and the general manager. Like, what did you bring in a free agency back? Did you bring in a veteran quarterback to help Tulich a little bit? Did you have great tight end play? You just thought that this kid was going to come in here and plug and play and away you go? Like, no, that's not. Again, I don't know. He ain't getting a college job next year. That's for darn sure. But it remains to be seen if he wants to continue his football career, but it won't be in the NFL. And it's strange. I was high on him. Go ahead.
The comment, I just saw a tweet. The combat was Lambeau said that Urban told him, "Hey, dipshit, make your fucking kicks and then kick them in the leg." That story came out. And that story came out on ESPN. But 6 minutes before that came out a story on ESPN where it said Trevor Lawrence, drama has to stop for the Jaguars. That's what Trevor Lawrence said. And then that other article came out. So I'll tell you what, if the contract between Trevor Lawrence and Urban Meyer, you bet your ass that they're going to side on Trevor Lawrence's side.
Yeah, Tony Khan, Trevor, yeah. Sign off. I know Tony Khan runs AEW. But, yeah, take the 21, you know what I'm saying, find a happy number that you can live with and have Urban Meyer go back to basically to, you know what I'm saying, Fox Sports or wherever. You know what I'm saying? But he has not done to do his due diligence to put, you know what I'm saying, to run an NFL team, not the Jacksonville Jaguars. No. So I would let him go, to be honest with you.
John, who's your MVP of the season?
I was chatting up, you know what I'm saying, in the Facebook Live, right? With a couple of friends of the program. Man, I had to bite my tongue off after I say it, right? Tom Brady.
Yeah.
You know, Aaron Rodgers is right there. I mean, you know what I'm saying? So it's like 1A, 1B, be honest with you. But if I had to twist my arm, I mean, I'm not saying you have to twist my arm, but again, you give this dude 2 minutes, a minute and a half, and you give them a chance. He's played the positions long enough that he's not going to make a catastrophe of a mistake, nor feel the pressure of, like, I've never been in this situation before, right? So, yes, the Buffalo Bills stormed back, but as soon as it's to force overtime, but as soon as he saw, I mean, Tom Brady's got to have the greatest eyes ever of a quarterback, right, of reading defenses, right? He has to, because as soon as he saw that, you know what I'm saying, his guy was open, it was broken, but that the defender didn't have a step on him, he let it go, and it was it. That dude, that was horrible. From a non-Tampa Bay, you know what I'm saying? That was horrible. Say what now?
So that was a walk-off play for number 700.
Yeah, that was, but again, man, so, and then how many moments have they had of that this year? You know what I mean? Where the coach, again, I had to reference the local team. Like, dude, the coach shot himself. You shoot yourself in the foot so many times, you have to get every – you have to max out every possession going against a guy like Tom Brady or going against, the, you know what I'm saying, it's basically New England part two that they got running down there in Tampa Bay, to be honest with you. I have my personal opinion. But you have to maximize every effort, every play, every possession. Because if you don't, every opportunity you have to score, right? So if you go out there and waffle, or go out there and fumble, he's like, dude, okay, this is our time, and he's rallying his troops. Say, all right, dude, this is where they just coughed up the ball. What are we gonna do? That's a turnover. whether, you know, whether it's a pick six or a fumble, whatever. So again, man, I get it. Somebody's going to chime in and be like, well, they lost to the third string quarterback against the Saints. Yeah, the sun shines on the dog's ass every now and then. That day it was shining. It was shining on New Orleans Saints. It really was. Yes, they lost to the team of destiny in L.A., in Los Angeles Rams. But, dude, think about how many close games where the younger quarterbacks, right, up-and-coming guy, whether it was the Dallas game, the Colts game, or this particular game against the Buffalo Bills. Dude, he's the Tom Brady. Like, they call Lamar Jackson Superman. No, Tom Brady's a Superman, for real. So, again, if he wins the MVP, as a fan of always rooting against him, I'm going to hate it. But I don't have – there's no way I could, like, dog it because – or, I mean, I just gave you a whole dissertation for Tom Brady. I could give you one for Aaron Rodgers, but then Aaron Rodgers is a liar. that's a little bit – you know what I'm saying? We got to remember Aaron Rodgers lied about being vaccinated, all that, you know what I'm saying? So, like, yeah, I couldn't give him for that. I couldn't give it to Aaron Rodgers based off of that. Just a little bit. I know it's supposed to be, I know the Royals supposed to be on the field to play, but you know what I'm saying? But Tom Brady right now is the MVP.
Okay. Switching gears. Let's see. Indiana Pacers, John, 3-game winning streak, lost to Golden State the other night. Steph did not set the record in Indiana, but he
good.
Holy cow. Oh, my God. I got to pause this for a second. I mean, hold on. I didn't stop. I'm in disbelief. And it has nothing to do with the show or any big breaking news. Let me pull the curtain back for a little bit. I was coming home today from golf, John. And I was, you know, tisk on me. I was on my phone and trying to get some bets in for tonight, right?
Gotcha.
So I go in to make a bet on the Cavaliers-Houston Rockets game, first basket. And I've been doing really well on these first basket prop bets the last couple weeks. I took Isaac Okoro. I can't even say his name right. Yes, because I like him. He's been scoring a lot early for the Cavs based on this program I have. So I went to put a $15 bet on him tonight to score first. A $15 bet would win you $150, okay, because he was plus $1,000.
Okay.
Well, I was also switching lanes at the time and all that. I actually put the bet in for $153, and it submitted.
Okay.
Which I was like, oh, my God, because I don't like to bet. I don't always bet, like, huge amounts. It was like $10, $15. So I bet $153 instead of $15 bet on this guy, and he's a plus $1,000 long shot score. John, I just watched the game. He hit the first shot. I just won, like,
$1,600.
So we're going to give a little clap it up right there for that. Oh, my goodness.
There you
Woo!
Go. Texas,
Woo!
Texas Roadhouse tonight.
Oh, hell no. That might be one meal in New York next week.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
So, oh, my God, what a bet. Anyways, Indiana Pacers won 3 in a row and lost. I just saw Mel Simon just put a quote out that said, I love our little team. Kevin has put together a great team. Mr. Simon just put that out probably within an hour ago.
Okay.
What the hell does it mean by our little team? Is that supposed to be like cutesy or whatnot? But John Miles, and I'm sorry I didn't get the audio clipped and put on the show. I totally spaced on that. But Miles kind of put back his statement from what we had about him wanting to be more of a focal point.
Yeah,
so thoughts on that? I know we talked about it off air ourselves, but for listening audience,
it's this. I mean, the streak was it a streak? The three game win streak was great, and it potentially could have been four, but you know, I don't know if I burnt bread on them or whatever. What happened, man? And I was like, can we? And I texted you back and said, can I give? They couldn't hold a 5-point lead with a minute 22 left. Steph Curry went to his bag of tricks. Wasn't necessarily a lot of threes or anything like that, or just went to his bag of tricks and went one on one. And the Pacers, when they got the ball, either A, forgot about Sabonis having 30 points. I'm not saying you go to Sabonis in late clock situations, right? But Sabonis had over 30-some points. That right there tells me, even though Golden State, I think Golden State is ranked number one in defensive efficiency right now as far as NBA is concerned. Draymond Green, I remember in the offseason, Draymond Green said he was the best defensive player of all time. Well, I'm calling BS because, like I said, if Sabonis can get 30, my God, then what is a better post pivot play going to do when they played the Bucks or the 76ers? And I'll get that here in a second. But again, it's the frustrating things about this particular Pacer team that they don't even see themselves. Okay, if you don't have the guy, Brandon, if you don't have a Kobe, you don't have a LeBron, those guys don't necessarily grow on trees, by any realm of the imagination. Then you go to your winning matchup, right? Early.
Right.
We had how many and Malcolm Brogdon, overall, if you look at the overall game, he had a good game. Well, I won't call it a great because the Pacers didn't win, but there were some times where the 3-on-1 break, I think, was in the third quarter. Like, they had a 3-on-1 break, and he threw the ball. He said, like, dude, if we was at the game, we would have caught it. On the 3-on-1 break, all you need is, I mean, you have to maximize. Again, if you don't have – right, you got to know what kind of team you are. If you don't have a Tom Brady in your locker room, if you don't have a Michael, you know what I'm saying, that superstar player in your locker room, you have to maximize each possession so that you come out, you know what I'm saying, ahead of the other team. The Pacers didn't do that. It boggles my mind. My goodness, I think Sabonis had 22 at halftime. He should have had 40. You had a matchup that benefit. So I guarantee you, if you get Sabonis, I'm not saying, again, don't give the ball to Sabonis with 5 seconds on the shot clock. That's not his strength. But you let him do work early. And I'll get to Miles Turner in a second. I know you chomped at the bit, right? You want to hear my take on that one. But again, that's those things just boggle my mind. Like the kid Durant, the rookie, didn't necessarily have it that particular game. He guarded Steph most. You know what I'm saying? That was his primary matchup, was playing defense on Steph Curry. But again, did we get a little bit? I think LeVert, he didn't shoot it horribly, but did we get a little bit of selfish play from LeVert? Again, Brandon, you're not going to outshoot Steph Curry. I don't care who you got out there. You're not going to out 3-point Steph Curry. You're not going to outshoot Steph Curry. You're not going to outshoot the Golden State Warriors. But if you got two bigs, and one of them got 30, and the other one is 0-for-6 from 3, and then 0-for-10 from the whole field, you should have told the other big, get your big butt down there too, so get you some of this 30 piece. Because that's the way the game should have been called. They couldn't stop. They couldn't stop the 6-foot-10 and 6-foot-11. I mean, if we got the other 6-foot-11 guy, and you know, saying some points, they couldn't stop Sabonis from doing what he wanted to do. So, again, I don't know why they didn't go to the matchup. Now we go to Miles Turner. Miles Turner whined and cried and said he was an overglorified world player on this particular team, and that he acted like the Pacers fans don't see him, that he didn't have no freaking opportunity. That's baloney. He has had all the opportunities. He has got – he gets shots that normally – like, he – again, he probably should – 0-for-6 from 3? Call him a stretch 4 because he ain't that. He might have nights where he hits, you know what I'm saying, 4 out of 6, but for most nights, that's not usually what happens. What usually happens is what happened the past night against Golden State. 0-for-10 overall, I do believe. Correct me if I'm wrong. But I know he didn't hit a shot. He got 4 points because he went to the line. He went to the line because he got 4 free throws. So, I don't know why he thought as a stretch four – that at 6'11", that his best opportunity to score was to keep on shooting from outside. Who thought that was a good idea? Did Miles think that? because, again, some of it is, it's one thing for the coach to say, all right, here you go, here you go, here. But, again, I told you last week on Crossroads Sports episode 192, it's still on the players out there. Again, we ain't going to have not one Miles Turner or Paul's call in tonight because they can't. Last week we had, I don't know how many people call in talking about, well, you got to get Miles. Miles is emotional. Baloney. Miles is what he is. There's a good deal out there. I'm not saying the deal with Bagley and Field. Who else is involved in whatever trade they want to do with Sacramento? I'm not saying you go for that deal. That's not necessarily a good deal. Who wants Marvin Bagley at this particular point? The jury's still kind of out on him as well. But if there's a good deal out there for Miles Turner around February, I think you make it. You know what I'm saying? I still think people. I mean, people think his draft. There's always gonna be some coach that says, I think I can get the best version of Miles Turner out of him. Your pressure is using him wrong. Good. At this point, we're using him wrong because all the pressure needed him to do against Golden State was to score 4 points. I mean, excuse me, four more points than he already scored. As somebody who whined and cried and then rolled back comments saying, well, that's just me being demonstrative and voicing my opinion or whatever, and then go out there in a big game. Like, you want to be – Brandon, you was on his ass last year. He wants to be Defensive Player of the Year. He wants accolades. He's a great – you know what I'm saying? He wants accolades on top of accolades. But, like, you only get that when you produce. And showing up donut style in the box score or showing up getting out muscle on offensive rebounds or just basically settling for when you were 6'11", he's the most athletic pacer that they have out there.
Right.
I mean, if he ain't discussing that himself, like, again, I don't know, Brandon. He's been challenged by Carlisle. I think the fan is kind of split on his individual play. You know what I mean? But I said it before, man, this particular Pacers team is not good enough to not have everybody that's important on this team not show up. We can, you know what I'm saying? Again, Michael Bobby has kind of cleaned up some of his turnovers, except for, you know what I'm saying, that critical one, 3-on-1 against Boneheaded. But again, that was a very winnable game where the Pacers led for three-fourths of the game, and 1 minute and 22 seconds in it, they gave enough life to the Golden State Warriors that they ended up on the losing side. And
you know why?
It blows my mind.
Their mental toughness wasn't there, John, because if you go back and look at it, and there's a reason why I took Golden State money line. If you go back and look at that, the final 4 minutes, John, they weren't worried about winning the game at all. And I know that sounds ludicrous, but they weren't worried about winning the game. They're more worried about not letting Steph get that damn record because they played zero defense inside. That they were like, we're not going to give him that shot. We're not going to give him that shot. And yeah, maybe it pisses you off because everybody's there cheering for Steph to get that shot and all that, and you feel like the whole arena is against you and it's your home team. But they didn't give a damn about winning that game. They were worried about making sure that three wasn't going to go off and go in. And that's how Steph got the layup. That's how Looney
right.
got easy layups inside. That's exactly what it was. And it's Indiana Pacer basketball, John. Let me ask you this. Concern is not the word I'm looking for. How troublesome is it the fact that the Caris LeVert we're getting now is not the Caris LeVert to be seen in the bubble or prior to that?
Again, he's been through a hell of a lot of mental anguish, right? But I would assume that he's cleared. We know he's physically cleared of some of all of that. And sometimes, though, I've seen him. They're trying to run. They're trying to run a set. Remember, you know how when Jimmy Butler's playing with Tyler Hero, they're trying to run a set where a little bit of a small ball. And the shooting guard can also defend the small forward, but you have shooters. You basically have a ball handler. You basically have ball handlers and shooters at least two or three positions on the floor, right? And it's kind of on Sabonis and Miles Turner to be, you know what I'm saying, if they're not into working the post, it's kind of on them to, you know what I'm saying, play defense and block out all those things that a big man's supposed to do. So in certain situations, in some games, even ones they kind of they lost early on, like that, it kind of worked where they were sharing the ball evenly. Like, you know what I'm saying? And sometimes guys do get cold, right? But sometimes guys, like veteran guys, because, again, we got to also remember that Chris Durant is a rookie, right? And he can't – the demands of like, hey, man, I'm saying, hey, or getting in the Brogdon's ear or getting in LeVert's ear, because those are the guys that got to give him the ball if he don't necessarily have it himself, you know what I'm saying, on the court or the coach doesn't call play specifically for Durant. You know what I'm saying? He doesn't necessarily have that as a second year, third year player that you know what I'm saying, rookies just don't rookie there's some rookie you know, growing pains that they're all rookies kind of go through. So I've seen that where they kind of freeze. I mean, it's not with you know what I'm saying, any animosity. It's just that, dude, we're trying to win this game. Don't worry about the kid. Like I've seen LeVert jack up 17 shots and only hit 4. I'm like, dude, come on, man. Some of them, you got to defer. Like, dude, you don't have it tonight. So it's concerning, yeah, because this is now the more it goes where we're not sharing, it becomes an oil and water mix, and now the pieces don't fit what the Pacers kind of want to envision. The Tyler Hero and Jimmy Butler, I never thought. I was like, dude, how are these two shooters going to, you know, the guys need to buy? And they were like, dude, it worked out. Tyler Hero had a piss poor season last year, but for the most part, it's kind of worked out since he's been down there playing with Jimmy Butler. And the other kid, Robinson, the kid from Michigan. Again, all those guys are pretty much the same kind of guy. You know what I'm saying? So again, the Pacers kind of want to run something similar. And right now, you have to have sharing. Sharing means that okay, let's get each other some easy shots. If one guy's off, let's get him an easy bucket. But I don't think we necessarily are having that right now. Sometimes I think Malcolm Brogdon himself gets a little selfish and wants to be the scorer. So I don't, Brandon. I know they re-signed Malcolm Brogdon. I know this particular front office, and even I think a little bit Carlisle. They like what they see out of Brogdon. When you see him on the floor, you like it if you can get him out as long as he ain't injured. But if they could package Miles Turner and Malcolm Brogdon, both of them would be gone today. But because of the contracts, and because of Malcolm Brogdon's contract, and because Miles Turner, they still kind of want to see, you know, they still see the plus side. You know what I'm saying? What he does off court, what he means to the community. You know what I'm saying? His relationship with the community. They don't want to move him just yet. But dude, like how many? Like that was a good tease, man. That 3-game. Brandon, like, dude, think about the other games they could have won. The Denver game, the when they went out west, the Portland game, this game, and then where you at? You're back to five. It doesn't take that much to get back to five, to be seventh in the East. The Knicks stink, right? They're ahead of you, but the Knicks stink, and the Washington Wizards ain't that far behind. It's seventh. I think they're like 2 games above 500. So 500 can get you in that 6, 7, 8 play. You know what I'm saying? And that's what – I mean, I get it. That's what the Pacers kind of want as an organization. That's what they kind of want. So I don't know, man. Brandon, I'm not the fan that's going to necessarily turn my back on them and be like, I'm not going to watch no more games and all that. I'm still going to critique them to hell till they make a move. And I don't think that move's going to happen until February, to where they kind of see where the lay of the land, the law land, of what they can get back in exchange for the particular most disappointing Pacer, and that would be Miles Turner.
I totally agree with you. Wholeheartedly. I really don't know what else to say regarding that. Hey, John, how does if you're a Utah Jazz fan, you got to be pretty happy with the way your team's been playing the last couple of years, and then now you go out with Danny Ainge?
Well, you know Danny Ainge, I do believe he's a Mormon, right? He did play 1,000 years at BYU. He played basketball at BYU, so it's odd. for him. I mean, he didn't necessarily always play for Boston. He played for Boston for a number of years, and then he played bounced around the league between Portland and Phoenix, right, before retiring. Danny Ainge is a great mind that Utah wants to, could basically convince, Mitchell and Gobert, the cornerstones of that particular franchise, like how can you help the Utah Jazz to continue to build upon what they built upon? Again, not necessarily a small market team, but a team where free agents just ain't necessarily, oh, man, I'm about to go sign to Salt Lake. Nobody, no NBA free agent on the top tier kind of says that. So I respect Danny Ainge as a drafter, right? Even though he drafted Romeo Langford for a little bit too high, you know what I mean? I respect Danny Ainge as a good guy to put teams together, you know what I mean? You know, when you think about some of his, it just kind of ran its course in Boston for him. He does have a somewhat different title here in Utah. He's the CEO of basketball. He's not necessarily the general manager, but come on. They didn't hire Danny Ainge just to be a face, to be shaking hands and kissing babies. They hired Danny Ainge to be a talent evaluator and to be a game evaluator. I don't necessarily think that, puts pressure and says, yo, the Lakers are in trouble or the Phoenix Suns are in trouble or any type of other echelon teams are in trouble. It just kind of adds to what they already have. Going further, they're gonna probably lean on more heavily on the opinion of Danny Ainge. But like, yeah, it's not necessarily a shot heard around the world, right? But it's gonna be interesting to kind of see what he does for the Utah Jazz.
Yeah, absolutely. He is. I think that they're already a good team, so it'll just now be a matter of what he can do and what he can help bring into that program to help get them where they need to be. COVID, as we said, COVID started to spread there. I saw a thing where they were talking about possibly delaying the season for 2 weeks to kind of let everything kind of calm down. I don't know how that works with arenas and everything, though, because there's contracts and there's other events going on in these arenas.
Right.
But I don't know.
Well, you know, the NBA does not have a problem extending its season. I do credit the NBA for thinking outside the box, thinking very innovatively. You know what I'm saying? I'm always, keeping us entertained, keeping our minds, during the whole bubble basketball that they ran down in Orlando. I don't think it comes to that point, to be honest with you, Brandon, where they put another bubble together like that, a self-site bubble. But the NBA is, right hand in hand with medical science. They keep their ear to the street in that regard. Could I see them doing like maybe four bubble sites around the United States where they have their teams playing in, like I said, in those particular sites, and the West Coast teams travel only on the West. Where they're thinking a little creative, creatively. How can we keep our keep it going without putting ourselves at risk of fully losing the season? Because nobody wants that. Nobody. Fans don't want it. The NBA don't want it. The ownership doesn't want it. Everybody in concern doesn't want that. So, but if they have to pause, I will understand. Kind of makes – dude, Brandon, people was talking about during the offseason making the season start not after Christmas anyway. You know what I'm saying? So – I'm not in that camp. I'm not in that thought process in that camp of thinking, but I do trust the NBA in their efforts to help to keep their business going and to make it all make sense if that makes sense. I trust that they'll find a way to do it.
How a two-part question? How special? And where is he going to rank at the end of his career is Kevin Durant.
I'm glad you asked me that, man, because a lot of people think when they talk to me, I'm a Kevin Durant hater. I'm just the biggest critic of Kevin Durant, just because of the whole, everything that kind of went, we went down with the high level Oklahoma. And if you can't beat him, join him, used to be a negative connotation. Kevin Durant made it a positive connotation. He's like, hey, can't beat him, join him. And, they, you know what I'm saying, two championships later. That still didn't mean he wasn't a great superstar of a player, right? Still doesn't mean, it still doesn't take away the fact that he went to the Thunder as the lead dog to an NBA final. You know what I'm saying? So what he's done this year, coming back, right? You know, after a year off of, you know what I'm saying, after a year off and then basically kind of being in and out of a lineup last year, and then not having all of your running buddies together, James Harden being in and out of lineup, you know what I'm saying, either because he's out of shape or because of recently he's in COVID protocol and basically Kyrie waffling on him. You know what I'm saying? If you asked me about a month ago that I thought Kyrie Irving was coming back, I would have said yes by January. I don't think he's coming back, period. Right?
Okay.
So doing what Kevin Durant is doing, 51 burger the other night, 35 piece against Toronto, you know what I'm saying, putting up some incredible numbers. There's always still going to be that looming thing that he did. If he doesn't win a championship, and I know this is terrible to say, if you remember, I know you were a little young, but if you remember what Steve Young did when he won his first Super Bowl, was his only Super Bowl, right? And he said, "I got the monkey off my back after being in the shadow of Joe Montana for so long or whatever as the lead dog."
Right.
If Kevin Durant can do that, that's what it will be, because it's, you know what I'm saying, again, he's got the league MVP, he's got finals MVP, he's got championships, but like all those things are a little skewed. I'm not gonna say asterisk, but they're a little skewed because like, dude, you went to a team that already was kind of like loaded, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, like loaded, and it was already a year away from removed from winning a championship, man. You know what I'm saying? Again, everybody wants to play with great players. Nobody wins. Matt Johnson didn't win by himself. Michael Jordan didn't win by himself. You know what I'm saying? There was always great talents, you know what I'm saying, at the left and right, too. You know what I'm saying? But there's always going to be that, man, Kevin Durant went to the Golden State Warriors. He's trying to wipe that away from memory, but he's kind of wipe that and make it like, yo, dude, I can do this by myself. I can do this as the lead dog on my own team. So if you ask me, I know we're only 25 games into it, 25 games or so into it right now. If you ask me, I know you didn't. Who's the MVP right now? It's between him and Steph. If you had to twist my arm, I would say it's Kevin Durant.
Okay. I like is the Russell Westbrook Lakers relationship pretty much over, or can it be fixed?
Not that it's a problem, but as a team, it's not working. Yeah, Russell and LeBron play very similar, don't they? They gotta have the ball in their hands. They want to make the right pass. They probably pass and rebound at the same clip, right? You know what I'm saying? If we put the numbers up, scoring wise is a little bit different. Obviously, LeBron's a better scorer. Obviously, LeBron James is a better player, overall player too. But you know what I'm saying? Hell, Russell got two MVPs his damn self, you know? One MVP and like how many triple doubles, right? But again, I don't foresee no trade though, Brandon. I know there's rumors out there about this guy moving for, you know what I'm saying, that guy sending Russell to this particular team in New Orleans, whatever. I don't think they move him. I just think they just kind of weather the storm and hope that somehow between January and March they mesh and they go on some crazy wild 7-game win streak. But to be honest with you, Brandon, that team can score with anybody. Their biggest lapse is defense, and that's weird because last two seasons they've been top five in defense. Top five defensive efficiency, right? But I think they kind of weathered the storm to see if you know what I'm saying, by March. And if they don't win the championship, you know, there'll be some changes in the summertime. You can best believe that. But I don't think they're ready to make no move as far as, you know what I'm saying, Westbrook is concerned.
Okay. Do you have anything else NBA related you want to talk about?
No. Oh, man, you know, the East is entertaining at best. I got
Milwaukee.
Right, I was getting on to them. They went from a, you know, in a week's time, they went from basically 11th in the standings to second in the East. So you kind of got to like what you see out of them. The East kind of boils down to those two teams, Brooklyn and Milwaukee. The West, it's, even though, you know, the Phoenix Suns and the Golden State Warriors, I don't think either one, if you put, I think the Warriors have lost five, the Suns have lost four games, something like that. It's still pretty much wide open, right? As much as we critique the Lakers and say, well, what is the super team doing? They're still sitting right there in the 6-7 spot right now. If the playoffs started today, they would be either 6 or 7. I don't know. I don't have the standings in front of me right now. So yeah, all hope is not necessarily lost for those particular. Nobody who wants to play them in the first rounder. In the first round, you know what I'm saying? Robert Horry said nobody fears them, and I call it baloney. That's like, you know, that's just, you know, somebody going on TV saying, like, dude, you still got a plan for a LeBron James-led team. You still got a plan for, you know what I'm saying, Anthony Davis. Again, could they play better? Sure. And, you know, and that might be what they're kind of waiting on. They're kind of waiting for on – and that's bad, because if you're waiting on snap your fingers to play better because the playoffs started, you know. But I would still say the West is kind of – though competitive, I still would say the West is kind of open. But the East, like, a lot of teams need to get their act together. But until then, it's you know, the Brooklyn Nets and the Milwaukee Bucks.
Okay. We're going to do a quick ad read. We come back, John, me and you will do our picks for the five games that we have for the first full week.
Sweet.
You've changed thousands of diapers, cut off hundreds of crusts, played hours of peekaboo and duck, duck, goose because you'd do anything for your kids. That's why it's so important to protect them with life insurance from State Farm. State Farm insurance agent Scott K. Nichols will help make it easy and affordable to help protect your family no matter what the future holds. Because for the people you do anything for, life insurance could mean everything. Call State Farm agent Scott K. Nichols in Indianapolis today at 317-243-3509. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I also want to thank our sponsor, Mavericks Custom Motorsports, where ideas are created and dreams are born, specializing in custom motorcycles, boats, slingshots, jeeps, and trucks. Offering pickups, deliveries, and shipping worldwide. Check them out today, MavericksCustomMotorsports.com. Let them know Crossroads Sports sent you this holiday season. You can get all your gifts for your friends, family, hell, even yourself. Check them out today, MavericksCustomMotorsports.com. Let them know Crossroads Sports sent you.
And we also want to thank Wiseman Logistics. Wiseman Logistics is an Amazon delivery, is an Amazon delivery service partner dedicated to the successful delivery of your packages, both commercial and private. Anybody looking for a job? I know Christmas is like a week away, but anybody looking for a job going into Christmas and potentially after Christmas, Wiseman Logistics is hiring. Just call. Anybody looking for a job, just call 1-877-744-6212. That's 1-877-744-6212. Wiseman Logistics, or you can hit them up on wiseman-logistics.com. They are hiring.
Okay, perfect. All right, John, we've got about 15 more minutes here before the 8 o'clock hour. We're going to continue to, we're going to stop our show at 8 o'clock, just an hour and a half show this evening, which is just me and John. Dinner's going to be ready. I got to make sure I'm ready for dinner. So,
there you go.
Even though we started half hour late tonight, but anyways, first game, John, USTSA, University of Texas, San Antonio. I've liked them all year. They are -2.5-point favorites against number 24-ranked San Diego State. Bowl game, you are going to ask me, and I know people because everybody loves the type of names of some of these bowls. This is the Frisco Bowl that's played in Frisco, Texas. I am going to take my UTSA Roadrunners to win this game. And cover the 2.5.
Ooh, that's basically like a home game for them, right?
Yeah.
Who's the coach of San Diego State? Ain't it our homie Brady Hoke?
Or has no, I don't think he's there anymore.
Okay, all right. Well, with that being said, man, no, it's still Brady Hoke. He's still at San Diego State. Yeah, he's still at San Diego State. At one point, he was undefeated himself. At one point, he had that team looking like the 2000, the early 2000 Ball State Cardinals, right? but like I don't know, man. That with them being so close to home, you gotta take the Texas team. So I, like I say, I don't know what's the line. Is there
two and
is
a half?
The line for this yet? Two and a half. Is it, expect a shootout, right? From what I saw out of San Diego State, they can score with anybody. They've had some surprise wins this particular year in non-conference play. But I know, man, take the Texas team because, like I said, they're playing close to home.
Okay. UCF, Golden Knights, John. UCF versus Florida. Florida, 6.5-point favorites.
Really? I'm shocked, man. I'm really shocked that they're favorite.
That bowl game is the Gasparilla Bowl, which is in Raymond James Stadium in Tampa. So both teams are from Florida, playing in Florida.
Yeah. UCF. I don't know, man. Florida kind of wilted down the line, down the end of their stretch, especially after that game after Alabama. They are a team that was good enough to compete to be in the top three of the SEC. If they are motivated and if nobody's kind of sits out because they think about going pro, right? I don't think UCF can hang with them at all. That being said, I would take Florida.
Okay. I've got the Gators, too, in this one. UCF, I just don't still see them hanging in there too long. Next bowl game, John, I have is the Ball State Cardinals versus Georgia State. Georgia State is coached by Tom Herman, by the way. So the Tom Herman from Texas. Texas fans will remember this is the Camellia Bowl, which is played in Montgomery, Alabama. Ball State versus Georgia State with Tom Herman. Tom Herman and Georgia State, 4-point favorites. Ball State, the underdogs.
Man, Brandon, I don't know where you got that information at, man. I don't think Tom Herman took the reins just yet. But there's no way I'm going against the Ball State Cardinals. This particular season did not go the way the Ball State wanted to go. They did. They had some retention left over from last year, where guys, what NCAA provided guys, athletes, and an extra year of eligibility. They kind of let the MAC title get away from them, and some losses against Northern Illinois in particular, and against Central Michigan, I do believe. This is also the same team that had some big wins. You know what I'm saying? Again, whatever you think about Army or whatever you think about.
Yes, it is Herman's team. Jesus, I'm wrong. God.
It's all good, man.
I kind of sworn it was when I even saw the news say it, I thought.
No, man. Tom Herman's still with the Bears, man. Now, he might at some point once we hit week 17, once week 17 is over, he might be back in college, given some of the, you know.
So weird. Sorry. Hell, I can't believe I got that. Where the hell did I see it then?
Yeah, he was rumored tied to numerous jobs that have since been taken, potentially going back to the Big 12 or whatnot. But, like, nah, man, head coach is Sean Elliott of Georgia State, man. I got Ball State, and it's gonna be a high scoring game. It should be a fun game too, but I got Ball State.
Okay. I'm gonna take the Ball State Cardinals as well. I would be sick to my stomach if I Georgia State, if I took anybody but Ball State. So I'll take the Cardinals. Second next game we have is Houston, John, Dana Altman, and the Houston Cougars taking on Auburn. No Bo Nix. Bo Nix went to the transfer portal. Did we figure out where he went to? Did he end up saying yet or not?
Nah, everybody. There's a lot of guys that haven't necessarily said. That's shocking.
Bo knows. but they're in the Birmingham Bowl, and Auburn is 3.5-point favorites against Houston. I'm going to take Houston in this game plus the 3.5.
Yeah, I can't. Again, man, Auburn had – it's weird, man. So, like, a disappointing game they had against Alabama, obviously. Early on, it's a very hard-fought game they had against Penn State, right, in the big whiteout party. But Auburn, for the most part, was a pretty good team, man, all year. You know what I'm saying? Not as crappy as Florida, and definitely not – definitely more noteworthy – I'm talking as far as the SEC play – definitely more noteworthy than Tennessee or even Mississippi State. Again, man, so if Nix was playing, there's no way I would be taking Houston. But Nix in the transfer portal, we get the story. It's some bit of a head scratcher. I didn't think his job was in jeopardy, per se. But Houston, I think Houston wins that game.
Yeah. Texas versus Mississippi State. John, these two teams are going to be playing in the – give me a second. They're playing the Liberty Bowl in Memphis, Tennessee, Texas Tech versus Mississippi State. You got a little bit of a revenge game here with head coach of Mississippi State, Mike Leach. Going against
mm-hmm.
his former team, Texas Tech, before mm-hmm. he went to Washington State. I just don't, man, this game, I don't like the over-under, I don't like the spread, but I love the over-under. I think this is a hit the under, definitely, but if I had to take a spread here, give me Texas Tech, but I think
Ooh.
Mississippi State came close.
Right. Well, don't put the full $1,600 that you just won on this particular game, man. I'm going the other route. I'm going the other way. I'm going with the Mike Leach, Mississippi State. Man, that dude, he's old school through and through, man. And, like, though I don't like everything he says and how he says it, I do like his outlook on football. You know what I'm saying? He was highly critical of guys, you know what I'm saying, not taking the bowl games, some people say is unimportant. It's part of the season. Don't quit on the team. Whoever's listening, I'm not going to call anybody out, anybody from Purdue. You know what I'm saying? Anybody else. You know what I'm saying? Sorry. Like, man, the bowl game is part of the season, man. And I get it that, you know what I'm saying, high draft picks or whatnot are concerned about getting hurt or whatever. The rate, I would almost play the odds against it. So play the odds against that and say the guys getting hurt versus guys, yeah, still not getting drafted is low. I do understand their concern, but if you're playing scared, then I don't know what the hell you're going to do on Sundays when the NFL play. You know what I'm saying? If you worry about you getting hurt in the bowl game, I don't know what the hell you're going to do on Sunday. You know what I mean? When they call your name on the NFL. So, like, no, man, but back to the game. Mike Leach has that kind of impression upon his team. They're going to get the best effort. The guys that he puts on the field, I take Mississippi State. Tennessee, Texas Tech has some disappointing games throughout the season. Wasn't necessarily a believer in them. I think it's why people didn't believe. They're one of the teams, not the team, but they're one of the teams why people didn't necessarily believe in the Big 12. Those critics that didn't believe in the Big 12, they're one of the why they're Big 12. Why? Who's Texas Tech? You know, who's Kansas? You know what I'm saying? They kind of fall in that pool of teams. This will be a competitive game because that other side of that locker room still wants to beat Mike Leach too. But I think Mike Leach has his team ready, set, go, and I think they win.
Okay. A couple other college football notes, John. Michael Penix Jr. entered the transfer portal. He ends up in Washington, out in the Pac-12.
Yeah. Yep. A former offensive coordinator who's now with the Washington football team, probably one of the lead recruiters that got him to come to IU. That's one of the main reasons why he went out there. Probably also, you know what I'm saying, get his career going. Michael Penix probably wasn't going to be a first-rounder, but he had enough QB talent that we saw his first two seasons at IU that people kind of thought, well, yeah, he will play on Sundays so long as he stays healthy. That's been his major issue, staying healthy, except for two knee injuries at IU while at IU. If he got some quarterback whispering down there up there in Washington and he can stay healthy, man, maybe we'll probably hear more from Michael Penix.
Yep.
So I say good luck to him.
College football recruiting, John, today the biggest news, I believe, was that Deion Sanders was able to get the number two recruit in the nation to flip from Florida State, where Deion did not get the job from Florida State, and actually decommit from there, and or not decide to go there and end up going to Jackson State at FCS school. There's word that this is going to open the doors for future things. What was your thoughts on that and kind of what Deion has done?
We can't talk about last week. I like what Deion has done. They play big-time college football. Well, they can. They have the ability to. But, you know what I'm saying, it's hard to get people to play you if they don't schedule you or they don't take you seriously. So if you start recruiting the same guys at Florida State, the Michigans of the world, the Floridas of the world recruit, and you can get them to come to your program and say, yo, I can – and you can tell these kids this is the way you can still get to the NFL because NFL, to be honest with you, Brandon, NFL drafts guys from Division II. NFL looks at guys from small schools just as much as they look at guys from the power conference, Ohio State, Clemson, and whatnot. I don't believe Terrell – I'm picking on him. I don't believe Terrell Owens went to a big-time school, big-time university. Yeah. So there's more than – football's not like basketball where you got – man, if you ain't go to Duke, Kansas, or Kentucky, or you know what I'm saying, they don't know who you are. You know what I'm saying? Football's a little bit different. With that being said – Deion pulled off a coup. He got, you know what I'm saying? In order for things to really, really change, it's great. I don't want to poo-poo it. I think it's great. In order for things to really, really change, he's going to have to at least get 10 guys to come to, you know what I'm saying, to come to his program. And then things kind of take notes. But if I'm a university that, like, again, I like the competition of it all. I think the MEAC, the SWAC schools should play the, you know what I'm saying, the small schools and vice versa. I think the Power Five schools and the Group of Five schools play, just lock them up, just play and see who really is the best. Of course you're gonna have some games where, you know what I'm saying, they get flattened, right? You know what I'm saying? But iron sharp, you know what I'm saying, in sports, iron sharp as iron. You ain't gonna get no better. It by playing, you know what I'm saying, by just thinking, but not thinking, you know what I'm saying, that thinking inside the box. So there you go.
Okay. College basketball real quick. Purdue lost to Rutgers. I said to watch out for that. I didn't like it that day we did the show. Hell of a shot, Ron Harper Jr., even though it was a two-handed shot. hell of a shot. Purdue came back. NC State looked like trouble in Brooklyn. They ended up winning by 10 in overtime. My goodness, Purdue is still new rankings came out there, number 3. They are going to be playing off week because of finals, but they'll be playing Saturday up against Notre Dame in the first game. Notre Dame's looked good. They just beat a Kentucky team. So it's not going to be an easy game for the Boilermakers. Usually the Crossroads Classic is usually a tough one for Purdue and IU, it seems like. And shout out to the Hoosiers with a very hard, tough-fought, gritty win against Merrimack.
Merrimack, that's damn right. They rolled Merrimack as they should. The Hoosiers did. I think the Boilers would be just fine. That was an incredible shot. That was an incredible game that Ron Harper Jr. put together that night. You want to call it luck? The last shot, you can. But like, no, you know, Rutgers. They haven't had some. Whatever Rutgers has got going on. Against the Boilermakers, man, they need to ball up and try to spread off through the rest of their season because they I don't think the Boilers have beaten them in the last 5 tries. That being said, it's going to be hard as the Boilers go into conference play for them to get back to like 1 or 2, especially when Gonzaga starts their conference play. Gonzaga, we know, plays in a weaker conference, and their biggest rival is St. Mary's, who I don't think they play till like after the New Year's. In like late February. So unless there's a total collapse of Gonzaga, or if Purdue, you know what I'm saying, goes on a streak where they whoop up on Ohio State and Minnesota, who I see as potential, you know what I'm saying, they might still win. I think Minnesota's like 8-1 or 9-1 right now. And that ain't been 8-1 since Quincy Lewis and Joe Prisbilla. who are in that school. So, but nah, man, I think Purdue would be just fine. They have bigger aspirations. Though it was a disappointing game for them, and then playing NC State, they got a little scared there. I don't think necessarily that they want to go undefeated, but I think they have bigger aspirations of going to get into the tournament, and keep on winning until they get to the final game.
Okay.
And I think that's what they want to do.
I called last week during the show, and this is another one of my like LeBron-esque ones from way back in the day. I said Memphis was going to, oh, you watch Memphis, who's having a horrible season, is going to go out and beat Alabama for tonight's game. And what did Memphis do? They went out and beat the number 6 Alabama team. I took money line and spread on that one. But, hey, I called that one. Cool.
Yeah, Penny Hardaway has had some difficulty in getting the elite guys that he's brought onto this campus, getting them to play team basketball. So what did he do? Okay, y'all don't want to play hard. I'll get the guys that are here that ain't necessarily as elite as you guys are, and I'll get them to play. And guess what? He came out with a victory. They still got a long season. He's got to get some more buy-in. With his team, so they're too good to be where they are at right now, as far as the one loss column is concerned. Could this Alabama win be a stepping stone for them? Could be, you know what I'm saying. But like I said, they got to get some team continuity and consistency going. But like I said, this Alabama win is a step in the right direction.
Yep, absolutely. News and notes, John. I have one quick note. Kevin Owens did re-sign his contract with WWE, so he is not going to be leaving to go to AEW or anything. He's happy where he's at. Uh-huh. He's signed a multi-year deal, very contract incentives. He's staying. John, we got White River Wrestling I want to talk about for a minute. But also, did you see the guy in some other wrestling organization that was just basically stabbed the referee and about killed the actual referee in real life?
Stabbed him.
They thought it was supposed to be part of the gag, and the wrestler thought the referee was supposed to cut himself in the match, and he didn't. So he grabbed a thing to stab the referee to create blood. Well, the referee had to go to the hospital, the emergency room. He almost died. Referee is pressing charges, and the guy, I just saw three other wrestlers said this other wrestler dude needs to be banned from wrestling. Banned from any of the companies because, I mean, literally just almost killed the guy, the referee.
Right, almost killed somebody, right, right. Wow.
Yeah, just craziness. But White River Wrestling, John, we went on Sunday. Great, great show. A lot of people there. A lot more than I thought we were going to have there.
Right.
I love the banter back and forth. We were yelling. We were getting down to it. I love the fact that one of the referees, after every match, he'd go out, put his jacket on, go out for the smoke break. I think he was probably a pack of cigarettes through the entire show on Sunday. Coughing in the ring, coughing up the lungs from the cigs. But overall, a lot of people there, great atmosphere, good place, good venue for it. I really, really enjoyed it. And shout out Jake Omen on the way.
Right. Shout out the friend of the program and interviewee. We had him on the show about 2 weeks ago, Jake Omen. The Fallon Warehouse, I didn't know nothing about it. You know what I'm saying? That off Brookside Avenue here locally in Indianapolis, Indiana. Quite pleasant surprise. You know what I mean? Great venue. You know what I'm saying? The beer was, you know what I'm saying, drinks were relatively not inexpensive, right? I kind of was surprised about the people there too. I mean, it was great interaction. Everybody, you know what I'm saying? It was great, great, great show. I can't say nothing bad about it. My experience overall, the performances, you know what I mean? From Jake something, Jake Allman, the cat. I can't remember his name. He was horrible. He was in it. Hey, Savio. He's Savio something, man. That was his name. But great local. It's family friendly show. Edgy enough not to be where you won't be. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh my god, you gotta. You know what I'm saying? Have your kid hold his ears or eyes or anything like that. You know what I'm saying? That's how I would it, you know what I'm saying, explain it.
A wrestler.
You can get, right. You can get you can get close to the talent. You know what I'm saying? There were some pictures they allowed you to take afterwards, you know what I'm saying, as a ref, and they signed autographs as they exited from their matches, right? The only issue they're going to have is not being able to put on shows more routinely. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of the drawback from there. But, like, no, man, anybody in the Indianapolis market or in the Indy area that wants to see great something that's not necessarily predictable, you know what I mean? Because, like, you got on me, he's like, dude, you holler at this show more, you holler, you know, scream. I lost my voice at the White River Wrestling Show. I kind of just sat in my seat. It's not the crap on the show that we saw at AEW. I just thought this was more an interconnectable show, right? More intimate setting, too, you know what I mean? So I enjoyed my time there. And like I said, I can't wait till the folks at White River have us back out. Maybe we can talk to some more besides Jake, because there's some other entertaining fellas they have. Yeah, we got to get the veteran. We got to get the veteran on the show at some point to pick his brain. But, like, no, man, anybody that enjoys professional wrestling, I would, you know what I'm saying, if you're in the market and the White River guys put on a show, I implore you to go see them, check them out.
Yeah. Last thing I have, John, AEW Winter is coming tonight. Just started. Title match, Hangman Page versus Bryan Danielson. Do we get a title change here? Match just started.
I wouldn't think Daniel Bryan or Harry would came here to, you know what I'm saying, just to put guys over. You know what I mean? It might not come tonight, but I think it's coming. It was great for Hangman Page to win it.
He hasn't wrestled really since he won.
Right, but keeping it is one thing, right? Winning it is an achievement in itself, but keeping it and retaining it, I guess it's an old line Ric Flair told Sting long time ago, right? You know what I'm saying? He beat him, and then guess what? That's why Ric Flair is the 2020 sometime, you know what I'm saying, heavyweight champion, because he won it again. So you have to be able to sustain. You have to be able to continue to draw. Have to be able to continue to make the story, you know what I'm saying, progress and get eyes and ears all on you, you know what I'm saying? And I don't necessarily think Hangman Page has kind of done that. It was great, like I said, it was great that he won it, finally beat Kenny Omega a couple weeks ago. But, like, you know what I'm saying, who's the hottest wrestler right now in AEW? I would say, I'm not necessarily saying it's Bryan Danielson. He's done, with that heel turn, he's looked great in a way that we've never seen him before. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he won. So, I'll be on there. Anybody, I'll be on as soon as we get off the call. I'll be watching.
Sounds good. All right, that's all I've got, John. No show next week. Holiday week. I'll be in New York City. So, John, I'll let you.
New York City. Nah, man. Like I said, man. Happy holidays, everyone. I know Christmas is fast approaching. If I get my audio together, I'll probably go live in between now and then. I do apologize for not having bad audio on the pre-show this morning. I do want to thank everybody who kind of chatted up and on the live, been on live Facebook live feed with us today. Thank you for that. I also want to thank our sponsors, Scott K. Nichols State Farm Insurance, Mavericks Custom Motorsports, and Wiseman Logistics. How could we do this show without them? Again, happy holidays to everyone. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in about a week or two.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports content.